Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Mouse Ears Podcast, where we talk about all things travel, but mostly Disney. Brought to you by Fairy Tale Journeys Travel.
And now part two of our coverage of the D23 Expo.
But because we're about to get into the experience panel, which is all the park news.
This is all the meat and potatoes here.
Yeah. So
this is what we're all waiting for.
So Steph, and take it away. And
so the Disney news from Saturday at the Honda Center. Man, oh man, this experience panel was just epic. And the fact that I was able to see it in person. So very interesting enough, when it comes to D23 in the past, they normally do not showcase the nighttime panels on any streaming service, except for Saturday. The past, like last year, they had done it where it was viewable to the public on YouTube. I know Brooks and I were watching it live when it happened last year. We were super excited when Figment came out. Do you remember that, Brooks? So this year, they changed it up completely. They did not live stream any of the panels except for the Saturday one on Fortnite. That's right, Fortnite, the video game. So what Disney did announce is that there were well over a million people that tuned in on Fortnite to watch, which is really cool. I know for them, that's like a huge...
I almost re-downloaded the game just to watch it.
Yes, you should have. You should have.
I didn't, but...
I don't know why you didn't. So I'm going to go through... I don't even know. I guess I'm going to start from like the parks furthest away and get closer to hometown. Hometown being Walt Disney World. Now, I got to say, the way that the show was executed was impressive. I was blown away. So here's the thing. Whenever they would give like a big news drop at the show, they would then bring out an artist to do some sort of cover song from Disney animation, naturally. And, or I shouldn't say just Disney, from any Disney, Pixar, whatever. And that would kind of give, I guess, bloggers and podcasters time to post something about it before they transition on to the next big news. Very cool. There was so much hype. Like, it was a concert / presentation / Broadway. It was epic. Epic. All right, I'm just going to dive right into it. So Shanghai Disneyland and Hong Kong Disneyland, they are going to get a Spider-Man coaster in Shanghai Disneyland Resort. And Spider-Man ride is also going to be coming to Hong Kong Disneyland's Stark Expo. And it'll showcase Stark Industries web-slinging intern seemingly battling Doc Ock. Sounds similar to what they've got at Disneyland Resort. At Disney California Adventure. I'm not sure. I wrote it just now. It was so much fun. It was different. But I'm getting similar vibes. Jen, please tell me what your sigh was about.
Well,
your sigh was about.
Okay, so Hong Kong and Shanghai, everything that they do and they get just so amazing. Like, if you haven't seen their pirates, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Like, so I'm wondering how much better it's going to be there.
Than Disneyland's? It does, I guess it does give Disneyland vibes, but you're not wrong there. Their technology is just,
it blows
us out of the water sometimes.
They have done such a phenomenal job out there. I can't wait to see it. We're planning hopefully Hong Kong in 26. So, I can't wait to see it.
Well, we don't have a time frame for those things, but one thing that I wanted to put out there for everyone to hear, this is not the only D23 Expo we are getting this year. There will be a D23 Expo in Brazil. Mm-hmm. I don't remember the date. I want to say it's in October. I could be wrong. But anyways, Disney did announce that they will be saving some news for that. So stay tuned. The news is not ending here. Not ending today. All right, moving over to Europe. We got Disneyland Paris, and they will be getting a World of Frozen in their Disney Adventure Park in 2026. Also coming to Disney Adventure is the Pride Lands Flume Ride. Basically, they're going to get a Splash Mountain tailored to The Lion King. And if you ask me, I absolutely cannot wait to try that out. I will postpone any idea of going to Disneyland Paris until that is done. Because that sounds awesome.
Yeah. Sounds like whenever the Mouse Ears podcast goes to Disneyland Paris, it's going to be the opening of the Pride Lands.
I like the way you think, Brooks. Yeah. I like the way you think.
This is, yeah.
Yeah. So I just really like that. I mean, The Lion King, again, love The Lion King. We've got the Festival of The Lion King, which Kelton's not here, but it's his absolute must-do favorite thing in the whole world to do at Animal Kingdom. But we don't really have that much more where The Lion King is concerned. And we did mention that the brand new Disney Cruise Line ship, the Destiny, will be getting a Lion King themed dining experience, which also caught my eye. And now this, an entire water ride experience based on The Lion King. I think those audio animatronics are going to be astounding. I have extremely high hopes for those, honestly. Yeah. So love that The Lion King is getting much needed love. And, you know, perfect timing with Mufasa movie.
Yeah.
Anyways, speaking of Disney Cruise Line, well, we've heard plenty of Disney Cruise Line news recently. Just last month, we were inundated with fantastic news on the Disney Destiny. And just to kind of cover, we have the Disney Magic, the Disney Wonder, the Disney Dream, the Disney Fantasy, the Disney Wish, the Disney Treasure, which is debuting this year in December. We're going to get the Disney Adventure, which is going to be out of Singapore sometime next year. And we're going to get the Disney Destiny coming out of Port Everglades next to my house, literally. November of 2025. That puts us at 8, if I did my math correctly. Well, Disney decided to announce at the convention center that between 2027 and 2031, Disney will have 4 more ships coming to the fleet. That will put us at a resounding total number of 13 cruise ships for the Disney Cruise Line. Unbelievable. I couldn't believe it. I don't think anyone was expecting that, considering we're just about to get 3 new ships. We just got the Wish, 2 years ago, a year and a half ago? I can't keep track of my timelines. This is huge. I mean, you can tell that they are trying to compete with Royal Caribbean, for instance. Mm-hmm. They are pumping them out. And I am very, very excited just to see how they are going to implement more Disney, Pixar, Star Wars, Marvel into their fleet. So it's giving them a lot of playing room. Speaking of the Disney Destiny, they will also have Disney Hercules as its signature stage show. Brand new Hercules, stage show. Hercules. Never been done before. They also revealed artwork for Disney, The Tale of Moana, coming to the Disney Treasure, which I will be on next August, and I'm very excited about that. But of course, we're going to have probably Laura, our, Disney Cruise Line queen, coming on after she goes on the maiden voyage to talk about the wonderful things on all things Disney Treasure. But that pretty much sums up Disney Cruise Line news. I mean, I say sums up, but really, you can't compete with four new ships on the horizon. That was, I can honestly say that the energy in the arena was insane. No one expected it. The screaming, the hollering, epic. All right, moving to Disneyland. This one we've heard before, so this one wasn't entirely new news, but I will elaborate what was new. Avatar will be coming to Disney California Adventure. They will be getting two new rides, and they will be making this land different to what is at Animal Kingdom. It is going to be based off of Way of the Water, which is the most recent Avatar movie, and it's going to incorporate items from the future movies that we obviously know nothing about other than the name. So that was very, very exciting. We got to see some of the concept art for it. It looks beautiful. I mean, the one that we have is incredible. So the fact that they're going to have two rides there as well and incorporate some future stuff. Don't know when we are to expect that one. I know that the permit, they've already requested a bunch of permits for their expansions and whatnot over at Disneyland. Very, very excited about that one. I think it's going to fit in beautifully.
And real quick. Mm-hmm. I think it's interesting to note too that with all of these announcements, they made a point to say that all of these are in active development. There wasn't a blue sky rendition or anything. All of these are in active development.
You're absolutely right. To me, that which makes that it was, that much more exciting.
Right. To me, that the fact that they made a point to say that was very interesting to me.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. Moving on, Disney California Adventure is also getting a Coco ride. I think this is unbelievable. I was not expecting this one. I think this is going to be beautiful, and I believe it's going to be similar to like a Pirates of the Caribbean or another boat ride that we have. Obviously, it's going to be very vibrant in color, just like you would expect.
Like a Grand Fiesta tour.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
I think it's going to be fantastic. I'm very much looking forward to this, especially because it's going to be something that the whole family can enjoy. Moving on, in 2025, Disney is unveiling an audio animatronic of Walt Disney himself for Disney's Main Street Opera House. And this show will be called Walt Disney: A Magical Life. After its initial run, the experience will rotate with great moments with Mr. Lincoln. I don't remember that part from the show. I honestly was probably inundated with screaming of people excited that they're probably going to be in the same room as a form of Walt Disney. I promise you I did not hear the rest of it because there was so much screaming involved. I'm desperate to know what are you guys' thoughts on this, because this is incredible.
I love
this. I can't believe this has not been done before.
Oh yeah, I'm surprised it's taken this long for them to do that.
I am loving it. Part of me also wonders, is this going to spark even more rumors that Walt's head was frozen and then just stuck it on an animatronic.
That is so funny.
Have you heard like the urban legend that the reason that they named the Frozen movies Frozen is so whenever you research like Disney Frozen, the first thing that comes up is not Walt Disney Frozen?
It would not surprise me.
I just
wonder if people are gonna start being like,
oh, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. It's really him.
It was I'm him. Sure.
I saw him.
I think it's going to be exciting. I'm excited for that one. I think that'll be really interesting.
I think it's going to be emotional. I think for the true diehard Disney fans, I'll be honest, like when I walked down Disneyland Park, you know, I was just completely taken aback by the emotion of this is Walt's park. Like even Michael was like, Walt walked in this area. He walked these sidewalks, you know, like that's the idea. Like I will always have Walt Disney World as my favorite park in my heart, as where I've been my whole life. I still believe that even after visiting Disneyland. However, it is just very emotionally, you know, captivating. And I feel to incorporate something like that is going to bring a further edge to nostalgia to the park. So I think, again, I had no idea. I think this was a very huge surprise. People were screaming from excitement by this news. And at the same time, it's like, wow, it took this long for them to come up with this idea. What happened? Anyways, moving on. Tiana's Bayou Adventure in Disneyland Park is set to open November 15th of 2024. Furthermore, Critter Country will be renamed Bayou Country. So that's all closed off with some beautiful walls over at Disneyland Park. We love our walls. I think everyone is going to be excited to see that go and be able to experience Tiana's Bayou Adventure over on the West Coast. Moving on. This one's fun. Brooks, I thought heavily of you. Coming to Millennium Falcon Smuggler's Run at both Disneyland and Walt Disney World's Galaxy Edge is a brand new story featuring Mando and Grogu. Dave Filoni announced the addition, saying, "Just imagine it. You'll be able to fly alongside Mando and Grogu on thrilling and dangerous missions." Couldn't have put it better myself. Guests can expect this new addition when The Mandalorian and Grogu arrives in theaters in 2026. Fantastic. I absolutely think it's fantastic. But I do hope that they bring Mandalorian and Grogu as Streetmosphere into the Galaxy's Edge here at Walt Disney World's Hollywood Studios, because we have not. He's only shown up in the one in Disneyland. So hopefully with something like this, we'll be able to get some more characters walking, roaming the streets of Galaxy's Edge.
I have a theory about this, this one, that there's going to be more than one mission. Like, there's going to be more than one mission, like Star Tours? Because
I hope so.
He said on thrilling and dangerous missions. So I'm wondering if there's going to be a little element of, you know, having different missions. I wonder. I don't know.
I love that ride.
Oh, we have fond memories of that ride.
Yes, we do. That being said, it would be nice to have like some variety.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so hopefully I think that's a really great catch, and I really hope that that's the case. And if it is, you heard it here first, guys. You heard it here first. All right. Last thing on the list for Disneyland, Adventures Campus. Where are my Marvel fans? At Disneyland's California Adventure. Sorry, at Disney's California Adventure. It has been confirmed that not only is the Adventure Campus going to double in size, but they are going to add two new attractions. Boing, 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 boing. The long-awaited King Thanos multiverse ride officially has a name, Avengers Infinity Defense. And this is what I was mentioning earlier that I saw in the Imagineer Pavilion at the convention center, but I didn't have the name at the time. The second attraction coming to the campus is Stark Flight Lab, where guests can ride in two-person pods controlled by a robot arm. They also confirmed at this presentation that Robert Downey Jr. will be reprising his role as Tony Stark for this attraction. Construction will begin next year. Not only that, but they also revealed exclusive first look at both Bob Iger and Robert Downey Jr. testing out this attraction. Yes, people, they already have the ride concept built. Mm-hmm. So I feel like that's really going to expedite the expansion project for Adventures Campus. And additionally, what they did reveal is that every ride or most rides or not all rides are going to be the same. I should mm-hmm. phrase it that way, which I think it's awesome. So basically what that means is when you get into your seat and these arms pick you up, and yes, these robot arms pick you up, the movements of what you're supposed to experience can and will be different every single time. So that, to me, is just, wow, what a concept. Not only are you going to be grabbed, it's not like you're just already on a ride that's connected. It's a separate entity where you're getting picked up and it's going to be a whole different movement. That's unbelievable.
That's not terrifying at all. I'm just saying.
Hey, if anyone can do it, it's Disney, or at least I'm sure.
I'm
going
to believe in the magic. Yeah, but
I'm really excited for it.
I probably won't be opening day for that because
I don't blame
we'll
you.
See
I don't blame
how
you.
Things go.
So. I will say that before they did all the announcements for Avengers Campus, Deadpool crashed the party. Mm-hmm. You may or may not have seen pictures and videos of Deadpool and his crazy exotic dancing and jokes. But he also had a whole presentation, I should say, on his ideas for what we should be doing for the parks. One of them being fix the Yeti. The infamous Yeti. I do have a video. I will be posting it because it is hysterical. It is everyone should experience this Deadpool phenomenon at the D23 experience panel. It was hysterical. It was amazing. It was like jabs at Disney while also like just being fun and lighthearted about it. But before I post it, if I haven't posted it, look it up. Do yourself a favor. If you want a good laugh, look it up. So rounding up the experiences panel, we're going to Walt Disney World, ladies and gentlemen. Finally.
And I feel like this is where the bulk of everything is going to be going on.
Oh, yeah. I'm not excited about all the walls, but no. I'm excited for the future. Starting off, Disney Starlight.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, a new nighttime parade is coming to Magic Kingdom summer of 2025. Oh my goodness, how many times have we talked about Disney's electrical parade wanting it to come back? Well, it's not, but we are getting something new, and it's been a while since we've got something new. I mean, yes, we've gotten, Luminous, the Symphony of Us, but like Magic Kingdom hasn't gotten a new show in a while, right? So this new show will feature Encanto, Frozen, Peter Pan, and more beloved characters. Now, I will mention that when this was presented to all of us, they did highlight that some of these other parks, like Paris and the Asian parks, will also be getting their own shows. Not necessarily nighttime shows, but they will be getting their new shows. If you go on the Mouse Ears blog and podcast Instagram, I actually did a live that I posted when they did that presentation. So you will be able to go back in there and check for yourself some of those other presentations, or I should say some of those other reveals for other shows. Moving on, Zootopia Better Zoogether. This new show will replace the current It's Tough to Be a Bug, housed inside Disney's Animal Kingdom's Tree of Life Theater, and will open winter of 2025. I don't know how I feel about this, but, you know, I know that It's Tough to Be a Bug is not a very popular show. It scares plenty of people. And Zootopia is fantastic. I love that movie. I don't know. So many changes to Animal Kingdom. My heart kind of like shrivels up. What do you guys think?
As someone who has taken screaming children out of that show, I am all for it.
Understood.
I'm all for it. I love A Bug's Life. But I think it's time to update.
I'm just upset that there's nothing else that is a tribute to A Bug's Life anywhere, because they eliminated that in Disneyland. Now they're going to get rid of that in Animal Kingdom. So it's just, I guess my heart is just upset because I do love that Pixar movie. But yeah, I mean, I think we've all experienced. I wish
they would do A Bug's Life play area the way that they had at, and I will say, Disney MGM Studios. You know how they had the Honey, I Shrunk the Kids playground, and then they had, you know, a flick outside and that you could, you know, take your photo with. I'm hoping that they'll bring a play area.
I think that's a great idea, honestly.
Yeah. Listen up, Disney. We want a play area.
Sticking with Animal Kingdom refurb, Dinoland USA at Walt Disney World is being overhauled to a Tropical Americas theme land, which we knew was going to happen from the previous D23. But we finally got an official name for this area, and that is going to be Pueblo Esperanza, or Town of Hope. This land will also offer two major attractions. This isn't great. It will include two major attractions. Sorry, guys. Sorry, Brooks. I know you put this together. Now I'm getting confused. There's going to be two rides focused on the Encanto movie. Mm-hmm. And then Dinosaur is going to be rethemed to Indiana Jones. Now, this new Indiana Jones ride will be a brand new storyline, completely independent to what they have at Disneyland Park. So that's nice. It'll be different to an extent. The other thing is that this whole transformation is going to be in phases, so people will still have the opportunity to ride Dinosaur a few more times before this happens. Additionally, within this Pueblo Esperanza transformation, there will be a carousel of sorts that they mentioned. And there will be a ride where guests can venture inside Casita and find Antonio's room has transformed into a rainforest. They also mentioned at the expo that guests might be able to potentially see what's behind some other doors inside the house. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. So that'll be exciting. It'll be three rides, essentially. And I want to say that they also mentioned a restaurant in the area. So lots to look forward to in this expansion. I will say, if they close that route between where Everest is and Finding Dory in the Finding Nemo show all the way to the front of the park, that's going to really stink. It is going to be a massive sea, and there's going to be a lot more walking back and forth, and wow. But who knows? It is supposed to be a phased opening. There might just be a whole walkway with walls. We saw plenty of that at Epcot. We shall see. But this
still is a nightmare at Epcot.
It was not fun. But hopefully this won't take as long as Epcot's. That's all I got to say. But I am looking forward to, I'm not happy about Indiana Jones, but I am happy about Encanto getting their own area. That'll be cool. That'll be really cool. Okay, so moving on. In Epcot, Epcot is set to gain a lounge inspired by the Spaceship Earth attraction and its geometric sphere. The Magic King. Oh, yeah. So, first of all, did not expect that one. Did you guys?
No, not at all.
Is that going to go in the old building next to Guardians? You know, with the gold dome?
Yeah, it would make sense.
I have a feeling something's going to be going in there. I wonder if that's where they're going to do it. It looked in the pictures pretty large. I'm excited and about open, this yeah. one. Yeah, I'm excited about this one.
I'll say this though. Not that it would be bad, but it'd be interesting if they included this lounge there so close to Space 220.
Mm-hmm.
That's all.
Yeah.
But they did say it was going to be near Space 220 and it was, Spaceship Earth, and it was going to be themed to that concept. I mean, listen, I love Epcot. I think a lounge would be a great opportunity for people to get out of the sun and out of the heat, considering the center area has all open seating and not a lot of hideaway from the elements. Mm-hmm. So this will be a good change. That being said, I was really kind of hoping, as much as I love Spaceship Earth, really kind of hoping we would be revisiting the concept art that they had presented a few years back at D23 for a possible refurbishment / update of Spaceship Earth.
Yeah.
So excited, but also a little bit disappointed that this is what we're getting instead of an update to that ride.
And you never know, that could be announced in Brazil.
I hope.
I'm just saying.
That being, but I mean, are they really going to put up some more walls at Epcot? Wow, that would be.
Well, it's kind of weird being there without the walls. So
you got them at Test Track, I'll say that. which, speaking of Test Track will reopen in 2025. And this version of Test Track will feature 6 distinct exhibits and new show scenes, the latter of which will show technological advances and involve customization, personalization, and a scenic outdoor route. I don't know. It sounds pretty cool. it's got to be better than what we had. People were very excited about that. Okay, so Disney's Hollywood Studios is gaining a Monsters, Inc. land, complete with the first ever suspended coaster in a Disney park. Disney explained the land is set after the events of the original film, where humans have been invited to the Monsters, Inc. world, aka Monstropolis. Here, they will journey into the factory and ride on a door, just like Mike and Sully. But here's the question. Where do you think they're going to build this land?
They better put that in Animation Courtyard.
Yeah, because there's space right after.
Hey, Launch Bay's got to go. Launch Bay's got to go. It is. It makes no sense being there. Too much Star Wars to spread out, and it really truly just is a waste of space. It doesn't draw in enough crowds. It doesn't.
It's a nice place to charge your phone and nap.
When it's raining.
Now, I will say, if you look at a map right there next to, I think, like, where the meet and greet with Edna Mode and all that is, there's a lot. If you look at the map, there's a lot of greenery right around there.
I also feel like that's just space that's not well utilized. They have a meet and greet with Joy. They've got a little food trolley, and then they've got a meet and greet with Edna Mode.
But
lackluster.
But
in my opinion.
But beyond that, there's a lot of greenery that they could potentially use. The one thing that people were really worried about is if they take out Muppet Vision 3D.
Mm-hmm.
Please.
Yeah, people are going to be up in arms.
Oh, yeah.
I will be one of them. That is, and it's not like a thing that I go there and I never do. I hit that attraction almost every time that I'm there. I love it. Mm-hmm. However, I'm worried that is where it's going to be, because that
transition
theater, that theater needs some serious refurbishment. It's so, so worn, and they haven't done it. And so I'm worried they were holding off on it because they're going to be replacing it.
Now, also too, you were talking about launch bay, because they're not going to get rid of Disney Junior. I feel like they're not going to get rid of that. And they are refurbishing Voyage of the Little Mermaid.
Right.
So I don't know if they're going to take out Launch Bay, because...
Well, it just doesn't make sense there. Going back to like what Jen was saying, I don't know if it's enough space. I really hope that they do, you know, a Monstropolis justice.
Yeah.
Because I feel like there's a lot they can do there. And they've only mentioned the ride. But imagine if they were to include like a Harryhausen restaurant or something. That would be so awesome.
Or from Monsters at Work, La Petite Grar.
Yeah. Gosh, I love that show. So,
Look at the map real quick. When you get a chance, look at the map. There's greenery right after where that Edna Mode and all that is. There's potential.
It wouldn't be far off from Toy Story. I mean, it would blend in with Pixar to an extent.
I like that idea better than Muppets. Yeah.
Hopefully they don't take anything away from Hollywood Studios. Because, you know, it doesn't have a ton of rides and shows to begin with. So.
Yeah.
Well, I'll say this. Out of all of the announcements, this was probably in my top two.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very happy about this. And it's going to be a whole, like, thrill ride. It's not going to be a boat ride.
Yeah.
It's going to be, you know, a roller coaster of sorts from what they made it sound to be.
It's going to be the first suspended.
Yeah. Wow. How excited is that? That's going to draw in a lot of people.
Oh, yeah.
So,
I wore my Monsters excited. Inc. ears,
and they're so cute too.
Because I'm very excited about this. I just don't want it to go where Muppets is.
You and a lot of people.
I know. I'm glad I'm not alone. Anyone that feels differently, please don't come for me.
You see, I'm not a huge Muppets fan. I don't frequent that show. But that's like, we're getting rid of a lot of OG content. And I'm going to get more into that soon. So if you get rid of Muppet Vision, I feel like it's too much change from too much original material that are very near and dear to people's heart. So on that note, we're going to move over to Magic Kingdom. Now, before we get into probably the two biggest topics, I will mention that Magic Kingdom is going to gain a Pirates of the Caribbean themed lounge that was mentioned back last year at the D23 convention. And they did mention at the time that they were going to have it's going to be a brand new experience. They did not use that wording this time. All they did was mention that it will open in 2025. A few things I really can't remember because I was still excited and screaming. But they didn't use the same lingo that they did last year. I hope that was not intentional. I hope that it was just like, hey, we're just going to give you the date so you can continue to be excited about it. But they didn't mention anything about it being brand new, because we were debating at Brooks. You were present, Jen. You were listening at the time. You know, we mentioned how is it going to compete with Oga's? Because it was supposed to be a brand new experience. And so, you know, we'll see. I hope it's early 2025. I really don't want to wait long for that one.
Yeah.
Well, that's Adventureland. Why don't we mosey on over to Frontierland at Magic Kingdom?
Oh, Lord.
Yep. We're going to get a brand new Cars theme land featuring two new attractions. This is set to be completely different than Radiator Springs in Disney California Adventure. So brand new rides, brand new theming, brand new Cars land. However, this land will be replacing Tom Sawyer's Island and the Rivers of America. The first ride will involve a rally race through the mountains, complete with geysers, rocky terrain, and mud holes. The second will be a family-friendly attraction geared towards the younger members of the family. And yes, this is already in motion. You can expect the construction for this expansion in Frontierland to begin in early 2025. So, hit me with those thoughts or opinions.
So, I think that we are going to be looking at a 2027 opening for building at least a whole new land. I don't know. There's just something so pretty about that area. I like mm-hmm. it. And then I worry that it's so close to Thunder Mountain that is the new Cars ride going to be similar? Too similar to Thunder Mountain. Like, I know it'll have the cars and everything, but I don't know how I feel about that. I love Cars. I love Cars. It's one of my favorites. And I'm excited that we're getting it. I don't know. I just think that part of the park is just so pretty to look at.
Well, that part of the park, in my opinion, is very, feels very Walt. Yeah. Feels very, you know, nostalgic and timelessly old.
Mm-hmm.
It's not old. It's timelessly old, if that is even a thing in existence. But I think you understand where I'm going with that.
Yeah, I feel the same way.
I know that Tom Sawyer Island isn't popular.
Yeah.
And much less after the bear incident of 2024. Sorry, 2023.
Oh, that was fun.
Or was it 2024? I can't remember. I think it was this year. Anyways, that being said, let's say your time frame is correct. 2 years of construction. That means 2 years of having a wall in literally going through half of Frontierland. I'm not saying I am not excited at the possibility, but oh man, that's a lot of walls for a long time. And I really do like the element of having a lake there. I wonder how many. So. Answer me this, because I really don't know. Is Rivers of America man-made? That's a man-made lake?
I believe so.
Yes.
Because everything is a swamp, right? The whole area is a swamp. I know that when they first made Walt Disney World, that was a huge issue that they had, was working with swamp terrain. I just wonder how easily or not it is to be able to fill that up. And then also,
I believe it's all concrete underneath. There's a track for the riverboat.
How do you feel about them getting rid of the riverboat? I mean,
sad about that.
That should not be going. That should not be going.
Yeah, I'm sad about that. Yeah. I don't go on it often. Partly because of it's busy a lot of the time, and that queue is just one.
You don't have a lot of places to sit on there. Normally, you're just standing the entire time. But it's beautiful. I absolutely love watching that boat going by when I'm doing the Haunted Mansion queue, for instance. It's just beautiful to look at, period.
And But on our trip, the last, you know, our last trip that we just did, what, a month ago, I got some beautiful pictures of the boat just sitting there, just all lit up on the water. And it's just gorgeous. And I'm sad that we're going to be losing that.
I just feel like we're going to be losing an element of like nature and like that openness to give like a natural breeze and such. And anyways, Brooks, you haven't given your two cents yet on this Cars Land. I'm sure you're excited. Like, we all are excited, but they got to do it right if they're going to get rid of this iconic area. I feel like they got to do it
right. Putting it, I can kind of understand Frontierland because of the, you know, the scene, because of the scenery from Cars. At the same time, thought that was a tad bit weird with it being in Frontierland, and then all of a sudden, like, everything else is geared towards kind of, you know, seems like late 1800s, early 1900s. And then all of a sudden you have Cars. So,
yeah,
to me, that's a tad bit weird. But, and it is sad that the Liberty Bell is going to be going, but I can definitely understand Tom Sawyer Island. Is, I feel like it's closed half the time.
Yeah.
So at least they're going to be utilizing that, and they're not really taking away something else.
I honestly wish that they would keep the lake, the river area, and then from Tom Sawyer area back, build Cars Land and just keep the water feature with the Liberty Bell.
They could have probably made a bridge of sorts or make it like, what is it? The Big Thunder Mountain, and I don't know which park it is. I don't know if it's Paris or Hong Kong that has it, where it's its own island. It goes under or over water. I wish we would do something like that.
That would be my vote. Unfortunately, I'm not an Imagineer or
it also could have CEO. Something to do with potentially they could need it gone for potentially the next bit of news that they announced.
Which is
Villains
Land is officially coming to Walt Disney World's Magic Kingdom. This has probably been one of those topics where Disney fans have been rooting for this for decades, easily decades. And the screaming and the excitement and the overall relief that I heard in that arena when Josh D'Amaro announced that Villains Land is coming and it's no longer a Blue Sky concept was resounding. I mean, it was like, everyone was like, oh my gosh, finally, you know, this has been long awaited. This is probably the number one news that came out of this day. Hands down, bar none, nothing compared to this. They left the best for last. And people lost their mind. People absolutely lost their mind, including myself. I mean, I'm pretty sure all of my videos are useless because I'm just screaming. But the reality is that Josh D'Amaro described Villains Land as the home for the baddies from Walt Disney Animation, Walt Disney Animation Studios classic films. He also confirmed the land will offer two major attractions, dining and shopping, saying it's going to be a fearless new vision for what a Disney experience can be. While no timeline or opening date was revealed, Disney claimed preparation is already underway at the Magic Kingdom. And as many of us know, permits were filed in the days that followed this announcement at D23 for what will be the biggest Magic Kingdom expansion to date. And yes, does this make sense with some of the terrain that we're expecting to see with Cars Land? Sure, absolutely. I'm thrilled. I'm absolutely over the moon. Excited. I saw someone post like, oh my gosh, imagine what Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party is going to be like with a villain's land. And my eyes just like went, you know, 10 times wider, just thinking that is going to be fun. That is going to be so fun. But no date has been revealed. Somewhere along the line, I read that the permits that were approved by the tourism district were for 10 years. So mm-hmm. I do feel like this is not something that's going to truly come till after Cars is opened. But the good thing is that the work for it has already started. So there is a light at the end of this tunnel. Thoughts, Brooks? I left you last time.
Yeah.
No, as members of the Runnin' Ohana, Jordan and Robbie said, is a land for us. The fact that they are celebrating the villains like that is just huge. And I'm excited to see what they're going to do with that. And like, is it going to be like a little bit of a darker area, you know, a little bit more, maybe not, because Magic Kingdom is definitely known as the most kid friendly of the four. Is that going to be an area that's maybe not as kid friendly because they're trying to do villains? But I don't know.
Here's a concept for you. Can you envision that, like, the icon for Villains Land is like the giant elephant skull from The Lion King, as like that's like the rocky terrain that you see from Big Thunder and Cars? That would be pretty cool.
Yeah. They gotta have Tronabog in there somewhere, I feel like.
Oh, I hope. Jen, what are your thoughts? Predictions?
First thought is I would not be surprised if they worked on these in tandem and that Villains opens first.
Wow.
Okay.
I was not expecting that.
Yeah.
Okay. Keep it going.
My thoughts, just because the other park that shall not be named, since this is Disney centered, will be opening, and Villains is the most requested land that Disney has. I think they're going to try to put that out as quickly as they can. That's makes just sense. Me. But I have another thought, and I've heard a few people kind of talk about this. We are talking about overall two new lounges, a new parade, a new show, and four new lands. Why are they not just building another park?
Putting it into perspective, Jennifer Turlington.
Could that be? Could a fifth park be announced at the Brazil D23?
I don't think they're gonna. I don't know. I mean, I can't imagine that all of this is going to cost all of the money, but I'm sure that building a whole new park is going to be. I just wonder with all the flack that Disney got with the walls being up in Epcot for so long, that we are now talking about walls in all of the parks, in all four of the parks, probably pretty much all at the same time, while they're trying to compete with the opening of Epic. It just doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me on why they just wouldn't do a whole new park.
Mic drop. So, you bring a very valid point.
That's my thought. I'm excited for everything that's coming. I'm thrilled with the Villains Land. I think the thing I'm looking forward to the most is the parade. It's a no lot walls for of the construction. The what?
No walls for the parade.
No walls for the parade. And I get that Disney's always going to be changing and evolving. And then that was kind of Walt's thing and Roy's thing. They, you know, everything was going to keep changing. But I think there's a whole lot of walls and a whole lot of construction going on all at one time.
Yeah.
It's definitely makes me nervous. Makes me nervous.
I'm excited. Like, I'm excited. And for the villains, I am there. I will be there for the Cars ride. Monsters, Inc. I am all for that. As long as it doesn't replace Muppets. But I'm excited, but I'm a little bit leery on having walls up for years, because we know this stuff is going to take years.
Mm-hmm. The Magic Kingdom Frontierland walls, that one I'm not thrilled about. I am very excited for what's to come.
Mm-hmm.
But yes.
Yeah.
On that note, you bring up some very good points. I'm not gonna lie, I didn't think about that.
Unless they're making enough for a park. Okay with all the walls and like let Universal have their year or so with Epic, and then we're gonna open everything and blow everything out of the water. I hope they do everything justice.
Well, here's the thing too. Universal doesn't have cruise lines.
No.
Or it doesn't have a cruise line. Much less 13 ships. Yeah. So, you know, I'm still a Disney fanatic.
I am too.
I know you are. Believe me. There's a reason we go multiple times a year.
All the time.
The fact that all of this is currently under production already was probably the best thing that they could have done to preface this entire presentation, because what was it, 2 years ago when they made the Blue Sky announcement of Villains Land?
Yeah.
It was just that. Same with, you know, Animal Kingdom, same with a bunch of other stuff. Finally, we do not get Blue Sky. Finally, we get confirmation, which made it the best presentation possible.
Yeah. And so, I really like that they did not announce any Blue Sky stuff.
100%.
This is what you're getting. This is what we're doing. This isn't, you know, oh, well, maybe we're looking at this. Like, nope. Permits are being filed. Land is being cleared. Walls are going to start going up soon. Like, I'm excited about that. Like, not the walls, but I'm excited that things are going to be moving along quickly.
So here is my final thoughts. We still have Brazil D23 coming in a few months.
Mm-hmm.
Do we think that they're going to make an announcement as to what Disney has in store for the now closed Star Cruiser?
I think that needs to be a deluxe resort, but that's just me.
They didn't make any announcements on new hotels. And from what we've heard, Disneyland was supposed to potentially get another resort. No resorts were announced. We know it closed, and we know that Disney's been talking about possible solutions for it. I'm not saying I was expecting it, but I feel like that's something that we might hear in Brazil.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Mm-hmm. Brooks, any final thoughts on the experiences panel before we move on to Sunday?
No, excited for it, but at the same time, just cautious, and hopefully it doesn't take them 5 years to build a coaster like Tron. So,
couldn't agree more. But there's a lot to look forward to.
Yep.
Which is fantastic.
I mean, it's a lot of excitement.
It is. It is. So. And let me tell you, the excitement in that arena was
And again, it's
unparalleled.
We say first world problems. I mean, we're talking about, I hope they don't take too long to build this.
So. Oh man. But whenever these things all open up, yeah. You better bet Mouse Ears will be there.
Oh yeah.
And on that note, Jen, why don't you round up this D23 long episode?
It is a long episode. I'm going to try to do this quickly. So on Sunday, they had the Legends panel. And so for, 40 years, Disney Legends Awards program has honored people that might not always get honored. So like animators and Imagineers and songwriters and, actors, business leaders, people who really carry on the Disney legacy. And, so the first inductee was Fred McMurray from The Shaggy Dog and The Absent-Minded Professor and The Happiest Millionaire, and that was in 1987. So they do this whole awards ceremony, and it's really a spectacular event. So on Sunday at the Honda Center, they had this presentation, and they celebrated a whole new class. And looking back at contributions, hold on one second. Having technical difficulties because I'm me. So Colleen Atwood. Now you might not know who Colleen is. However, if you saw her work, you would absolutely be like, oh, okay. So she's been working a lot with Tim Burton, and she is Tim Burton's go-to costume designer. So their first film together was Edward Scissorhands. They've done Alice in Wonderland. They've done Dumbo. And their most recent is the upcoming new Beetlejuice. So that's kind of cool that, costumes. Angela Bassett. Everyone knows who Angela Bassett is. So she is, she was awarded. And fun fact, she's actually from North Carolina. So,
yeah, look at that.
I'm just saying. She's from North Carolina. Martha Blanding, she was the first ever full-time Black tour guide. And she's from LA. And she started working at Disneyland in 1971. So, and she was a tour guide. I thought that was awesome. I love it when people have worked somewhere for a very, very long time. James Brooks, who of course is, writer. He's just an icon. James Brooks is an icon. Terms of Endearment, he's had, multiple Oscars for writing, producing, directing. He's just amazing. Another James Cameron. Like, do we even have Avatar. To say who James Cameron is? I mean, really.
Titanic.
Oh, I love Titanic. I love Titanic. And Pandora. I mean, he's just everywhere. Jamie Lee Curtis, which I thought was interesting because, she's going to be in Freakier Friday and she gets the award. So it's nice to see her. She's really just an icon. Miley Cyrus,
13 best-selling books. I'm sorry. Yeah. What?
Yeah,
I had no idea. Yeah, sorry, interjected.
Yeah, yeah. She's she writes a lot of childhood type stuff. So she's awesome.
I'm floored. I thought she was only an actress. Yeah. Sorry.
Miley Cyrus. Or
say less.
Look, okay, from someone who grew up in that kind of environment and limelight, it seems like she's doing better these days. I'm very happy for her that she's doing better and kind of finding her way, and that, she was honored. So
hey, she looked good. I'm not gonna lie, she looked put together, and she had a she really did have a fantastic speech. If you haven't heard it yet,
yeah, she's kind of gotten to the point where she can poke fun at herself a little bit and be like, "Oh, I'm so dumb," and it's kind of refreshing. I think she's humbled herself a lot, so.
Definitely matured.
Yeah,
and I think it was good for her.
Yeah. So one that I really didn't know much about, because don't come for me, I am not really big into comics or the metaverse or any of this stuff, but Steve Ditko, he's re-envisioned many of Marvel's iconic characters to what we know today. So, Iron Man's armor into the red and gold design. He seems to be a really talented person. Harrison Ford. Everybody knows Harrison Ford. He's a legend. Mark Henn from Disney Animation Studios.
Gosh.
Yeah.
So I don't know if anyone got a chance to see it. I should probably put it on the Facebook group. That one social media video that a bunch of the Disney princesses made, like their voices, because he helped design and animate a lot of these just iconic Disney animation movies from, you know, sorry, I kind of interjected. Tiana, Mulan, Jasmine, Belle, Ariel. Yeah. I mean, those are the top, right?
Yeah.
So, and that's just, you know, scratching the surface with him. He was at the convention and doing autographs and such, and I was really upset I didn't get a chance to to meet him, because he's a Disney icon.
Yeah.
No doubt.
Yeah. Frank Oz, creator, director, producer, performer, writer, actor.
Wow.
Yeah. He's helmed more than a dozen films. He did Dark Crystal, if anyone remembers that. You know,
look at what he did for the Muppets.
Yeah, he did a lot of Muppets, Little Shop of Horrors, Dirty Rotten Scoundrels. Like, he's, you know, what about Bob?
So. Oh, and he was Yoda for Star Wars. He was the voice of Yoda.
Yep.
Yeah. He, I also heard he had a very, very touching speech. Wasn't there, but he had touching speech.
Kelly Ripa?
Yeah.
I always mispronounce her last name, and I don't know why. It's not difficult. Kelly, if you're listening, I'm sorry. Sorry. She's just adorable. And of course, you know, her and her husband, Mark, been together forever. They're adorable together. Met on a soap opera, whole thing. You know, she's multiple daytime Emmys for her work. She's great. And Joe,
please come on the podcast. Joe, please come on the podcast.
We live for you, Joe.
we love you. We love you so much, man.
For those of you who don't know, Joe Rohde, he retired in 2021. He was a creative executive 40 years at Disney. If you've watched any of the Imagineering show episodes or anything like that on Disney Plus, you've seen him. He has the big earrings in his ear, and he's rugged, and he is brilliant. They did a Nat Geo where you could go with him.
Yeah. Goals.
Okay. Goals. That was,
Goals.
He is amazing, and his contributions just astounding.
No, we need to give this guy the proper credit. I mean, I'm sorry if I'm biased. There was plenty of legends that have done fantastic work.
Yeah.
To contribute to the Disney magic. But Joe Rohde, let's just talk about him for a second. He is the creative executive and supervising designer for Disney's Animal Kingdom theme park. Yes, the entire park.
He heard that correctly. Park.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So he's just like one of my favorite people in the world, honestly. He also was involved with the Animal Kingdom expansion when they added Expedition Everest, Legend of the Forbidden Mountain, and Pandora, the World of Avatar. Emphasis on my favorite person. Sorry, Michael. Joe's other notable projects include the Adventures Club, which is formerly a part of Pleasure Island at Walt Disney World. That's in the past. Aulani, a Disney resort and spa in Ko'olina, Hawaii. Please reach out to Fairytale Journeys Travel Agency for a travel agent to help guide you in planning a perfect trip to Hawaii. And a Guardians of the Galaxy Mission Breakout at Disney California Adventure Park, which, fantastic ride. Absolutely just doesn't even compare to Tower of Terror. They're just two different things. And because of that, I love it.
Yeah.
Completely love it. I mean, the guy is brilliant. I love everything about him. And on top of that, he is super, super, super involved in the Disney Conservation Funds. DCF, we've talked about in a previous episode. He's a huge environmentalist. And is Lookout Key at Lighthouse Point. Also his brain baby.
Yeah.
Drop the mic with this guy.
Yeah. He's awesome. Well, moving on to another great guy, we have John Williams and his music, y'all. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you've realized his contributions. Mm-hmm. He has created the music and composed for over 100 films, including all of the Star Wars, all of the Indiana Jones, he's done TV series. He has 5 Academy Awards. He has 54 Oscar nominations. He is the Academy's most nominated living person and the second most nominated person in the history of the Oscars. And that's just for the Oscars. That's not any of the other, you know, things. Like he's...
awards. Yeah.
He's also a knight. Queen Elizabeth II. Knighted him. So
he should be knighted. Are you kidding me?
Wow. He should be knighted. He is tremendously talented. If I could work with any one music person, that would be it. So that is a 2024 class of Disney legends.
Mind blown.
I'm surprised it was a good class. I'm surprised a lot of these people weren't already legends.
Yeah. Well, so, their time was this year. They got
their moment. Yeah.
They got their moment.
And on that note, Brooks.
So, if you've stuck around for this long, the answer to our trivia question, when was the first D23 Expo? The answer is 2009. So this was
I did not know that.
So this was the 15th or 16th expo. So, wow. But folks,
until next year.
Yeah. Well, folks, that just about does it for this week's episode of the Mouse Ears podcast. Next week, we will have Laura Greco on the podcast to talk about her latest trip with Adventures by Disney. Don't forget to join our Mouse Ears podcast Facebook group, TikTok page, YouTube page, and Instagram, the Mouse Ears blog, to stay up to date with all things travel, but mostly Disney. And if you're interested in having a Fairytale Journeys agent book your next trip, visit fairytalejourneys.com and let them know that the podcast sent you. Lastly, if you enjoy our weekly episodes of the Mouse Ears podcast, we love for you to leave us a review wherever you listen to us or watch us. Until the next episode, thanks everyone. Bye.
Bye.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.